Today on the Dirt Bike Track, we learned that the best way for a villain to take down their hero is to gaslight their family into thinking they're a little beta boy. Which is kind of like how my friends and family gaslight me into thinking I'm not better off encased in muck on the Sea Harbor's floor. My name is James.
I'm Nicole.
And this is Mostly Speaking Spider-Man. Hey guys, I just kind of had a good week this week. No crazy thing to talk about. You want to know what? I did slice my penis, as previously explained on Formulaic. Listen to that and you'll find out, whoa, James was Donald Duckin' for 3 days and somehow a slice happened on his penile unit? That's pretty bonkers. But I'd like to introduce my co-host. You know her as the woman bent on revenge, the emissary of hell, the bricks, my decade-long best friend, Nicole, darling homebody J-Kiss. The floor is yours.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
That means that I'm stressed, but I'm good.
Stressed?
I'm nervous, but I'm good.
You're nervous for why, my queen?
I quit my job. And I'm trying to go out on my own.
Uh-huh. In a blaze of glory.
Paying bills with artwork.
Yeah, you know, you draw up something and maybe someone will see it and say, whoa, I'm paying buco dollars for that.
Sure.
What if you got into fine art and you got in with some rich people who are using you for tax evasion?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Our guest is shaking their head if we saw them on camera saying, yeah, tax evasion.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of it. Honestly, I'm a big fan of it.
He loves it. You know, young buck, you aspire to be him.
I appreciate people going on their own.
Oh,
definitely.
Okay.
And I want to say congratulations, Nicole, on that personally.
But not the tax evasion thing.
No, not that. Unless you get away with it, in which case, congratulations on that in the future.
Most of it's just going to the fucking military anyway, so.
We salute our soldiers and our executive chief commander, Biden.
100%. Would give a lot of the revenue that I get from tax evasion back to the troops.
Hell yeah. Actually, to our real president, Fran Drescher.
Yes.
Real shit. Definitely.
I keep saying that on podcasts. If anyone doesn't know, Fran Drescher of the Nanny of Spinal Tap fame, she is the current SAG president. That's why I keep saying that.
Oh,
Nicole didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, president of anything, and I'll be there for it.
Okay. President of high-end fashion currently because I wish I could buy the thing she wears in the Nanny.
Yeah.
This is a pretty chill episode today. Does it feel like that?
It just started.
But it feels like, ooh, baby, we're just here smoking blunts and drinking hunts.
Sure,
the
man.
Ketchup. I'm down in this shit. That's why I'm wired. I'm back on sugar.
Aren't you going to say your news?
What's my news? Oh, Anal Dentata. Ow, October 13th. And you can hear the world premiere of that single, the normcore single of Anal Dentata, this week, Friday. Patreon.com/MLMPod, where for $5 a month, you get exclusive content every single Friday. But guess what? If you are not on any subscription tier, you can listen to This Existed discussing teeth and the world premiere of Anal Dentata for free. It'll be available for everyone. There you go. That's that news.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh.
The second Friday of November, my drum and bass EP,
God damn it.
Rainy Beach Days, is out everywhere?
No.
We currently are in discussions with a big guest to possibly be on our 5th year anniversary?
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay. Well, that other news. I don't want people all up in my business, a.k.a. I'm trying to evade taxes. Oh,
exactly. Always.
What?
I'm with you.
Sniffer.com/ Marshland Monster. You can buy my underwear.
Do you think will any one of our fans do it? I tried to say a name, and then I was like, no, I shouldn't.
One of the fans seems like they'd hover over that purchase now button.
Even just like as a joke, they still would probably be like thinking about it.
I wonder which of our, let's introduce our guest.
So are you just not?
No. They'll find out when anyone who works at this place that I got a job at comes on the pod and I introduce them as either my boss, the owner, or I'm kidding about the second one, or a coworker.
I mean, you could at least just say you got a job.
Hey guys, I got a job. It was very easy to get because I just scooped in.
Congratulations.
I got Nicole's old job.
Weird.
Nick, can you please turn on your camera?
I thought my camera was on.
It's
I'm sorry.
Not. It's super not.
It was before, so I thought it was. That was my bad. Here we go. Hey, yo, sorry about that. I thought it was on.
You know him from episode 6 from 5 years ago of this podcast and many more. You know him from his appearances on Formulaic as a rapper, Just Nick Period. It's our good friend Nicholas Just Nick Period Foster.
Thank you for having me again. Always a pleasure to be back. I will definitely do my best with you guys, of course, willing to not have such a break in my appearances.
Hell yeah. If any of your fans purchased your underwear, do you think, like music fans, would you be like, that's weird? Or would you be like, hey, someone bought them. I'm fine with that.
Someone bought them. I'm fine with that. If I knew there was a market for it.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
I'm telling you, we would get some wholesale going.
Nicole?
Jesus. Mm.
If you sold your underwear to, like, a Darling Homebody fan?
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah, I think it would be, if we have a relationship and you told me, if I found, like, I know some of our fans' names, if I got an order from them.
But also, like, I'm a woman, so.
Yeah, that too.
It's different.
If I got an order from them and they never told me and messaged me about it. It's just like, hey, I purchased this. Maybe they just want to leave a nice review so I have 5 stars on sniffer.com.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm fine with that. But if they're like, hey, I got these and they smell sinful, I'd be like, okay, this is overstepping a boundary.
I mean, it would just be that they crossed the boundary into a bigger fan. I honestly would be like, all right. I didn't know I could be accepted like this. Let's go. Sinful underwear. That would be the new addition. That'd be the line that comes out the next season.
All right. You've turned me over. Literally anyone can comment this as long as you're not sending me pictures, mainly because I don't need to see that. What would I guess I just double click it to give it a heart.
What if they sent you a picture of them wearing it?
I double click it to give it a, no, I give them a devil horns
exactly.
emoji.
Exactly. You just got to let it be whatever it is. You got to let it be.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what I'd do is I'd kind of dom them and say, hey, I'll give a react to this picture if you send me $5.
I think technically at that point, you're like, you might as well be a cam person or something,
yeah.
right?
I like wish.
Interacting. That's like a mutual, almost like a remote mutual like moment between you guys. That's good.
It sucks that there isn't as big of a market for men's underwear and just men in general being a solo act.
I mean, it just depends on the man, I think. I mean, if you bring that special sinful scent, who knows? The world's your oyster.
Then I could start doing videos with Smell-O-Rama.
I mean, yeah, and they'll be just commenting under it. I mean, this is what I want to smell. This is what I want to smell. Give you suggestions.
Yeah.
There's a whole bit of communication. I'm always for fan communication, you know?
And if Pornhub didn't take weeks to approve a photo, I might be posting a little bit more.
You post on Pornhub?
Yeah. Pornhub.com/Marshland Monster, which is, we will
you
be
just like post music videos or
I will eventually, but there is something in today's episode of Spider-Man when they're like, I can't believe they found out we're that trading company. It's almost the same exact name, guys, where if all of a sudden people are like, wait, this Marshland is also you just with a different M word after, I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of my thing. It's MLM.
Is it Marshland Munch? Sure.
Oh, I should do that. And it's just me eating pie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I guess it wouldn't be pie because I don't eat sugar.
I just gotta. Are you saying like you post like fetish videos? Is that what you actively do right now in your other time?
No, not right now. All it is just me in underwear.
Okay, because I was like gonna say you keep doing this like not right now, like not yet, like that's coming.
Stay tuned, folks. Yeah.
Hey, I have no problem with it. I just want to stay up to date with what's going on in your life, man. That's
coming
a new development.
Coming soon.
Yes.
Yeah. You said you had big news. I mean, this is the biggest news I've heard.
Well, the biggest news is I got an interface that can plug into my iPod, so I'll be able to stream audio to TikTok to make beats on there, and the Darling Homebody Shopping Network will also stream on TikTok this year. Nicole, you got anything to discuss before we move on?
Our 10-year anniversary was really fun. Watch Serial Mom.
Yeah, guys. John Waters Serial Mom. It rips.
Congratulations, guys.
If you like horror comedies and or like strong female leads, watch Serial Mom.
Or if you just like John Waters satire.
I mean, obviously, if you like John Waters, you've probably already seen it.
If you like Matthew Lillard.
Sure.
Susan Sarandon.
Uh-huh.
All these. It's great. So what we did on our 10th year anniversary, we went to a all-day horror movie marathon called The Massacre here in Chicago. It was great. We saw Serial Mom, fantastic. Then Reanimator, Black Christmas, and Critters.
And Critters.
Critters holds up so hard.
I've never seen it. I was thinking about when you said you went to that festival, like, man, I should have gone. And you said Reanimator. I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't.
What, you don't like it?
Because of the gore stuff, you know?
Oh,
like I said,
okay.
Like, when we did the Dead Alive thing, I was like, that's another one of those ones that I knew. I was like, that might not be for me.
Yeah, you should be like desensitized to it after watching Dead Alive.
Yeah.
That's very true. I need to check where I'm at now that I have that under my pedigree.
Because when we were watching Reanimator, I was like, what's the hubbub about this movie? I guess I've been desensitized.
Yeah, dude.
I've watched so many people slaughtered. This means nothing to me.
While I was like riding my bike, I was like, oh, that person stopped. I'm good. Like the person driving, like I was like, oh, they stopped. I'm good. And I was like, but what if they just feel like murdering today and they just keep going and hit me? And I was like, wow, I've been watching too many horror movies.
I constantly think that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, riding a bike in the city seems super sketch sometimes where I get worried.
Riding a push scooter, I think, is better. My Razor scooter.
That's scarier to me.
Oh.
I used to get down on the Razor scooters until I like barrel rolled down like a hill in the burbs. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of took a break for decades.
No. Also saw the horror short that Melzer directed and I scored. That was right before Critters.
Called?
Oh.
Called Special Delivery, Raise Your Own Hell.
And you can watch it.
On YouTube.
Yeah, we got to see it on the big screen. It was fucking cool.
Got to see my name in the credits, Marshland Monster Music by.
You got to hear it in like the speakers with the big screen. So you were just like living it, man.
People are like, yeah!
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure to check that out after this.
You haven't checked it out yet?
No, I'll definitely check that out.
All right.
It's only like, I don't know,
four or five minutes,
yeah.
And the soundtrack is available on Spotify and everywhere else music is found. But let's get into Spider-Man, Nicole. All right, Nicole's a little tired. We got to wrap this up in 4 minutes. Nick, what's your thoughts on Spider-Man? I'm kidding. Nick. Normally we ask, hey, what's Power Rangers experience and all that, but it's all about Spider-Man. What is your experience with Spider-Man at large?
Spider-Man at large, big fan of the Tobey Maguire films. That was probably my biggest thing because I actually wasn't a fan of the X-Men or Spider-Man or honestly the Batman cartoons growing up. I thought they were super boring and I was a Power Rangers guy, so I didn't care about anything during Fox Kids except for that. I didn't watch it until then.
Not even the Ripping Friends?
Nah, I didn't care about any of that. But I watched all the Power Rangers and the ripoffs. So I watched like Mystic Knights, Beetleborgs, Masked Rider. I watched all that stuff because it was really about martial arts for me, honestly. So Toby was the one that did it for me. I really didn't care at all for Andrew, you know, that guy, or Tom Holland. I think Tom Holland's fine, but I think he just really was riding a wave of Marvel that is not really what it is now. And I think his last movie was only helped by Toby, but I'm a Toby elitist, so that's kind of where I am with Spider-Man.
What's your favorite non-Spider-Man Toby Maguire movie?
That's interesting.
The Great
I think
Gatsby.
It's Brothers. With I forgot he was even in that because it was so Leo-focused. But definitely Brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal. I thought that was pretty interesting, especially considering going back to Spider-Man that there was always rumors that Gyllenhaal would take over the mantle if Toby like left for money issues or something like that. So I was always interested in that. And that was my favorite one that he'd probably done outside of that.
What is that? What is that movie about? I've never even heard of it.
Can I explain it as someone who's never seen it?
Go for it.
All right. So I think Jake Gyllenhaal goes to war?
No.
Tobey Maguire goes to war and I guess he dies. And his lady friend, his wife, played by...
Oh, I have no idea anymore. I don't remember.
All right. Played by one of, like, an indie darling. You know her name. And then his brother, Jake Gyllenhaal, says, we've bonded together because my brother died and we were, like, best friends, maybe. So, like, now we're best friends, you and me, and we've fallen in love. And then flash forward, Tobey Maguire didn't die in war, and now there's this tension, and maybe
awkward.
Someone gets punched.
That is perfect. That's exactly how it goes. And I really liked it because Toby has always just been like this Spider-Man weird Boy Scout guy. And Spider-Man in those movies, it got to a point where it was annoying how like upbeat and like happy he would be because of how good things were going at a point. And in Brothers, they found a way to make him not menacing, but just that type of military unstable with certain people. Unfortunately, don't get the help they get after dealing with the tragedies they see.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he plays that really stuck out to me because I wasn't sure if he could be anything other than Spider-Man. And I kind of went to see the movie to be like, that's not going to be anything. But
yeah.
I thought he was really effective. So that's definitely my favorite non-Spider-Man project.
You want to know the best mashup of two Tobey Maguire movies?
Let's go.
Boss Babylon.
Oh, he's in that, isn't he? I didn't know he was in Boss Baby.
Yeah, he's in Boss Baby.
Is he the baby? No, that's Kevin Spacey, isn't it?
No, ooh. It's the other fuckboy now, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, ooh. Double ooh. Oh, yeah, Kevin Spacey was the cat.
Was he?
I forgot about that. Yeah, he had a movie. It was like right before, you know, things went how it went with him. It was called like Nine Lives, I believe. And he like switches lives with his cat.
Oh, wowzer.
Or he turns into it and replaces it. I don't think the cat turns into him, but yeah, he definitely turns into a cat.
Well, listeners, let us know, what's your favorite Tobey Maguire movie, not Spider-Man 1-3 or the other ones he was in?
For sure. I do want to say, though, with this Spider-Man,
yes, let's get into
it. Out of all
the
stuff we've done and experienced, this is the hardest thing I've had to watch that you've given me, only because every single minute of this, I had something to write down, so I almost never got to watch it as a free-flowing experience in only 24 minutes. I had to stop it like every 5 seconds. My notes are so long.
Well, let's get into it.
So many things.
Let's get into it. First off, initial thoughts. What did you think?
A banger theme song from the Yeah Yeah. Wow. I was like, this is it. It hit me with that typical like theme song from like a lot of different Asian media I've seen where the lyrics are almost like limericks and like stories of mythical figures. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the quotes, I think I have more of the quotes like later on, but it had some just absolutely like amazing things they say about Spider-Man in the intro. So the intro song is way better than we had here, honestly. One of the many things I see, because I compared this to the Spider-Man show we had, and I think that was around the same time, right? The 70s?
Yeah.
This is the 70s, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This one, I'll just say off bat, this is way better than our Spider-Man in the 70s, because I saw that as a kid, and that was whack as fuck, honestly.
I think there's such an emphasis on the theme songs for all these Japanese shows, because their reasoning is like, it needs to be a fantastic 2.5 minute long song because it needs to be 2.5 minutes long so we don't have to make more show every single week.
Very true. It made me laugh because I just thought about like if we had this theme song, all the different renditions it would have gone through historically, like how they love to beef up theme songs when they make a new rendition, like the Mortal Kombat movie that just came out. The thing that I hate about it the most is the fact that they took the dance track 90s Mortal Kombat theme song and put like dramatic Marvel orchestra behind it. Like that is a theme song. And I personally feel like that's one of those themes that should live in the era that it came from. And I think I wouldn't have been mad, or anybody would have been, if they had just changed it by this point, because this is not that Mortal Kombat and it definitely didn't have that vibe. And I just thought about like if, you know, for like Spider-Verse, if like Metro Boomin had to do like a sample of the Yeah Yeah Wow, and if they had like the orchestra music for Tom Holland and for Andrew Garfield, that's his name. Like if they had to keep redoing that, like he was dubstepping to Yeah Yeah Wow.
Hell yeah. And it would be
great alternative history.
It would be central focused in the trailers of making it spooky and ambient like they do in horror movies now.
Exactly, because it's like that would be the Spider-Man thing, because they definitely do that with the Spider-Man thing.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up as a wink in every iteration, and I would definitely pay to hear this iteration show up in those different forms.
If I was better at music production, not saying I'm bad at it, I mean, if I could play guitar, if I could play all these instruments, I would absolutely, for an entire year, just each month, do a, like, it's from the 80s era, it's from the 90s, this subsect, this subgenre, and so on.
Oh, yeah. It is beautiful. I mean, the intro is an A+ for me for this show. Like, I put everything within context because I felt like it could be easy to laugh at this show, but I feel like there's a lot of effort into it, honestly. And I was actually impressed. I enjoyed this episode thoroughly. One character in particular that I can't wait to talk about.
Personally. Hell yeah. So what we're discussing today is episode 14 of Toei's Spider-Man, entitled, I believe Nicole read it off, it's very long, and I don't know why it's called this. A song for the father of a hero who can sing no more.
Yeah, I don't get that one either.
I guess it's because he can't transform and he flashes back to see his father. And maybe his father in like that flashback, which wasn't his father, it was the ET alien. He kind of shows what's happening. I don't know.
That's where I'm going to have a lot of questions, because I just don't know what this guy's deal is. And I was like, really early in, like, so is this dude bit by a radioactive spider? It doesn't seem like it.
No.
He has a spider mobile. He's kind of like a Batman Spider-Man. Yes. Like they just did whatever. And also a Power Ranger, obviously.
So a quick rundown, if you do, because it doesn't really explain it.
I would love it, honestly. Nicole,
would you like to give him a quick rundown?
Sure. He was given spider blood by someone from the planet Spidarian, which gave him spider powers. He has a magical bracelet that I forgot what the purpose of it is, or like where it came from.
It came from him, and that bracelet had the blood in it initially, and it speared him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was magnetic in this episode, the bracelet.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
For some reason. And the smell thing is new.
Yeah, the smell thing's new. He would love me on sniffer.com.
Oh my God.
A contributor.
Is that?
I think that's it.
I mean, yeah, I was trying to figure out like if his dad was the Spider-Man and passed it down.
No.
As like a knight or something.
His dad
from that scene,
was a scientist.
Yeah, his dad was a scientist and he died on a mountain, and then, well, trying to avenge his father's death in the first episode, Takuya fell into a big hole, and that hole is where Garia from Spider-X or Spidaria was currently trapped in by the villains, or hiding from the villains. And he's like, I don't have long to live, but I can give you this spider blood unconscious person, so I'm going to stab you with superhero power. It's like that one, that movie that Tubi keeps being like, this might be something you like, that all it's about a guy who, this is from the 80s, shot on video. A doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you, but you got AIDS. And he's like, no. And then he starts stabbing people with his AIDS needles to like get back at people. And I'm like, Tubi, I don't want to watch this. Stop asking me.
And it was made in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Uh-huh.
That's super fucked up, actually. That's super, that's way worse.
maybe early 90s.
That does not make it better.
I know.
I'm like,
that means Magic Johnson like just retired and made that, like, he trying to make better awareness for it on himself, and that's coming out.
Nick News just did their report on it. Man, that's a impactful segment. If you haven't seen the AIDS segment that Nick News did, oh boy, get ready to cry.
No, definitely haven't, because I was not a fan of Nick News. I was like, I'm here for cartoons. What the fuck is this? I would always turn that off when it came on.
Well, it was in between like SNCC and Nick at Night, and I just didn't have anything else to watch.
Word. I felt like it used to come on Sundays, and that was when I used to just always turn it off because there was nothing going on. But, you know, what can you do? But I do want to point out that a big difference I remember from this in the 70s Spider-Man, and it kind of always seems like the theme with American media and non-American media, is the practical, non-like trying to push the boundaries with special effects that you can't hang with, that we have in America. Because the Spider-Man I remember, they literally just had him crawl the wall on a screen. So he was probably like on the ground and the camera was above him. Mm-hmm. And that was his wall crawling. Whereas here, even though it could be seen as jank, they just used a lot of hard edits and trickery for base things to make him climb. And I thought that was far more pleasing than mm-hmm. here. And if some of the edits were done a little cleaner, it honestly would be really good and ingenious with a lot of the stuff they were doing. Like early on in the scene when he was sneaking in the building, they had one where he was like on the table, like he was on the regular floor looking at a table, and there's a hard edit. But if they didn't, they make it seem like he goes straight from looking at the table to jumping to the corner of the roof of, or the ceiling of the room. And I was like, that was almost slick. Mm-hmm. That was almost good. And I appreciate that far more than screens where a dude's just crawling.
There's a part where he jumps onto the ceiling. I'm doing air quotes, jumps onto the ceiling. Because clearly, like, they've just moved the room around and that's the floor. And you can tell because as he lands on the ceiling, it gives as only a floor would.
Yeah, they're so close to being slick, but they're, you know, they're there. But one thing I will say for the shortcut is, again, instead of the screen, they just have Spider-Man do like a crouch creep. I call it like a stealth crawl creep, where he just runs and like tries to look devious.
Like a little spider.
He's just blatantly running on the street. Yeah. I guess he's in an alley, so it's a little sneakier, but he just does that.
So this episode begins with him looking for documents because Interpol, who he is affiliated with, he is told that the Iron Trade Organization, who on books just carries coffee and other goods, but last time I checked, bombs ain't good, guys. Drop beats, not bombs. And they see him on surveillance, they being the Iron Cross Army, and they're surprised. Oh, I can't believe they associated Iron Trade Organization with Iron Cross Army. It's so close together, guys. Like I said, the marshland, and this is why I brought that up.
Oh, I agree. I was confused at first because, you know, I think of the Red Cross when they said Iron Cross, so I thought they were going to be a support group when they brought it up. I was like, is that Dr. Doom? And I had to, like, get over believing that this had any comic ties whatsoever. And I'm just like, okay, this is just their version of Lord Zedd and Rita, because it is, if you take the Spider-Man suit and the name out of it, this is just a power, like, you know, that mm-hmm. style, like a Power Rangers or like Super Sentai, like, episode through and through. Like, I was like, I didn't realize Spider-Man had an OG, but I'm guessing that guy works for Interpol and he reports to them, that dude that he got gave the files to.
Yeah, it's a new development. They're both trying to take down the Iron Cross Army. So Interpol knows who Spider-Man really is and says, you're clearly working for good and we're working for good. Let's team up. And they're doing it.
Yeah, I like that. But then to move back to the Lord Zedd scene, this was the introduction of the character I wanted to talk about. And I felt like watching it was the reason you picked this for me was Batman. When he showed up, the slick Batman, Superfly. And I was like, this Batman is way better than ours. I wish our Batman just dressed up like a flyer Bruce Wayne. and just walked around in all white. That was so fire, honestly. That dude, I'm a fan of him off rip immediately.
I feel like there's been a Bruce Banner in an all white tux with a top hat on. I feel like that's like a 80s cover.
But by the time they really, you know, because they had Batman in the 60s, and even when they were trying to do it in the 80s until Burton gave his name on it, they were trying to get like Bill Murray and Eddie Murphy to do it to make Adam West. So they were already in the, like when Burton got it, it was dark all day.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Miller, let's do it. So we never got that chance, but seeing this all white, smooth dude, like, don't worry, I'm gonna work this out for you, my boy. And he just like, goes to work. Like, that was my guy, man. I don't care if he was evil.
I have an issue with this episode just because, as Torchyberry on the Citizens of Townsville Z explained Powerpuff Girls Z as, this is the most, it's said, so it has to be real. You just have to suspend your disbelief. We're not going to explain anything because what's this bat guy's deal? Why? Who is he? We're not introduced to him at all. And why is he a bat who can turn into a human form when none of the other BMEs have been able to do that yet? And why does he believe that it's Takuya? That's not explained.
So they said that he is a bat-human hybrid.
Okay.
I like how hybrid equals shapeshifter to them.
Yeah, I guess. And what do you mean, how does he know?
There's no explanation of why is he saying it's Takuya.
Because at the, what do you call that? Where the newspaper office.
Yeah.
The Iron Cross Army Amazoness is the lady.
Yeah.
And they got a letter from a fan that said, hey.
No, I think that's them.
Hey, we think it's Takuya.
No, I think that they are planting that to Hitomi so Hitomi is suspicious and maybe can bring
that
out.
They never said that, though.
Yes, but they never say anything. That's the deal. Because it's before any of, before the letter is presented, he is already saying, hey, I think it's Takuya. And then she's like, hey, I'm going to do this newspaper thing. So the only explanation from what we've been presented in the order we've been presented to is they planted that letter and only told Hitomi about it because she is friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
I definitely had that question too. I was willing to stretch my imagination and say that like he had been had surveillance bats for like reconnaissance for when he pitched his, you know, game plan to his boss, you know, cause homeboy, you know, Spider-Man sees that outside of his apartment when he like walks outside, he sees one of the bats. So I thought maybe he just had a bunch of surveillance bats and got a hunch and they just didn't say anything. Cause I was under the assumption that since this was like episode 14, maybe this was an overarching plot line where
unfortunately they don't do that.
No, I think there might be two episodes that have an overarching plot and that's it.
This show would be much better if it had overarching plots, but it does not.
Absolutely not.
I definitely thought that was like the season arc that has been going on. And he was like the culmination where he's like, I know you got this intel. I'm here to bring it in. So that just happens? They just do that?
And I don't know if we've seen it prior or if it happens later. There is an episode where Amazonas says, hey, I think this is Takuya, and presents reasons why. And it's crazy how if it's before, Amazonas isn't like, yeah, I had the same conclusion too. Or in the future, she won't be like, remember that bat guy? I think he was right.
Yeah.
But you're assuming that they're set. Why are you assuming they're separate? Like, the Batman works for them.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was his introduction to the larger group when he walked up to me, too. That was why I thought he was like some, I don't know, enforcer from their place that they made that came through when everybody else had failed. Because I was like, episode 14, they've clearly been working at this for a while in plots that all line together, and this is the culmination. So, yeah, other than that, I really don't know. I'm with you, Nicole.
Yeah, I don't know either. But let's get through a couple more notes. I have some before we get to this part, which is pretty much Takuya realizes a faint hospital smell is what the Iron Cross Army and most elderly people have in common. It's just okay. Like there's like this sterile smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So once I go to a hospital, I'm going to be pinging everywhere. I'm going to say, oh my God, it's Iron Cross Army.
Yeah, I wish I would have watched this again, but the next scene when he gets, Spider-Man just gets confronted by these dudes when he's out riding his bike or his motorcycle, did those guys ride their bikes through the cornfield to come out in like a group like that? Because I feel like that can't be good for their bikes.
I believe this is a dirt bike track that Takuya goes to. He's a bike racer. So my assumption would be they came from another part of the track.
Oh, it just seemed like there was like a little barrier almost of like corn stalk. So it seemed like they had like emerged from the corn stalk in quite a well-synchronized fashion, but I was just like, that can't be good for their bikes, just riding through corn.
Next time I see my friend Malachi, he's in corn a lot. I'll ask him, hey, could you ride a dirt bike through here? And he might be like, hey, our God will smite you, but technically you could. That's a Corn Kids reference.
Definitely. I appreciate it. I also appreciate the wheelie to punch Spider-Man in the face. That was pretty classy. I appreciated that.
And during this scene, Takuya is brilliant at keeping his secret identity, as shown by Hitomi's reaction to like, hey, he might be Spider-Man, and how he reacts to being hit and like cowering away. I was just like, oh, guys, I'm hurt real bad. Sorry. But no, he's fine.
Yeah, I was a little confused only because I wasn't sure of how Spider-Man worked. So I wasn't sure if he was like a Hulk or werewolf type where it's like if he was avoiding them because if they push him enough, he'll manifest Spider-Man involuntarily. I wasn't sure if that was the case at first because he's like, they're trying to turn me into Spider-Man. I was just like, why do they have to try to do that? Why can't you just handle it, you know? Because even I feel like our Spider-Man, like, when he's Peter, sometimes Peter will just like knock a dude out.
But when he knows that, like, Peter will knock a man groping Mary Jane because he's like, hey, don't fucking do that. You do it again. Oh, you're doing it again. Pop you in the mouth. He's not assuming this is Dr. Octopus having plants around groping a woman. But Spider-Man in this series, he's like, oh, that's the smell. They are around. If I clock this dude too hard, I will be found out.
That's true. He does point out their eyes, which I feel like I might have missed a shot, or maybe they just didn't pay attention because I felt like they were all wearing goggles. So I didn't see the eyes. So when he pointed it out, I was like, what are the eyes? And they're already like running circles around him. So I really was confused.
Nick.
But, you know, he said modified humans. So I was like, all right, I'm here with you.
Nick, it's the latter. They had to say it so we could just assume. But speaking on modified humans,
there was a very short, like, close up of like someone's eyes and the irises were like red.
Okay.
Okay. I remember that from the amusement park, but not from that scene.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But speaking of modified humans, that's what my grandfather called tattooed freaks with penis piercings.
Fair. But, you know, this is also my favorite part when my boy Batman rolls up again in his Batmobile, which just seems like a caddy in the 70s, and just makes quick super fly action scene work of these dudes and pulls off my favorite move, which is ongoing, all of his moves with his glasses. This one, of course, was take the glasses off to Takuya. That's his name?
Yeah.
Takes his glasses off in front of Takuya's girl. Gives her the smile, puts them back on immediately. Didn't even really take them all the way off. Just enough to see the eyes. And he just goes away. Like, that was all. He did say something. He was like, good, you're okay. That was all. He was so smooth. And I was just like, I want this guy's TV show, personally. Yeah.
It seemed like that shot was done in just one single take because when he goes to put his glasses back on, it seems like he felt he was already out of the camera. But he kind of just like drops his like smooth thing and he's just like, this is a job, and puts the sunglasses back on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it was funny to me because I wasn't 100% sure what his motive was. I thought it was going to be to take Spider-Man's girl, I mean, I don't want to spoil too far, but like, that's not really where that goes. And it just seems like he's being a superhero at that point. And
yeah,
he was honestly a pretty badass one. Like, I would love that show if they just made a show about a dude like him and just made him wear the same stuff, but just not be a bat person. I would watch that guy.
What I think he's trying to do is shame him to the point where he's like, well, I have to defend my honor. My little brother is disappointed in me. My girlfriend thinks I can't do anything to support her. And my sister, guess what, is feeling both of those feelings that my little brother and my girlfriend are feeling.
Yeah, because he definitely laid some, like, sleeper cell game on his girl that I thought was going to, like, come back. But now that you say it that way, it was like he was just trying to push him and insult him in all the traditional ways to make a man angry and try to go forward. So but I was on board, man. I was like, this dude is great. So I guess I was affected. It worked on me. I was like, fuck you, dude. You suck. I want this guy.
Nicole, how would you push me to, like, be a man and defend honor?
I don't know. What?
Nick, what would you do to push me to defend honor as a man?
I would take all your fans and make sure that they buy my underwear instead of yours so that you have to really dig in that bag and figure out how to get that collection going, well, get back on your shit.
I'm sorry if you did that. I'd be digging something else, a pauper's grave. Because I need that underwear sale to survive.
Yeah, that's how you go. You got to cut them off at the underwear. People don't get that. That's business right there.
So, Nicole, what would you do to push me now that you've had time to think?
I would get both of the cats to love me.
Well, this just is a fairy tale right now.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I thought you were going to say, I would just take a scissor to any of your yogis, and that will make me do anything.
Yeah.
That's sad.
What?
That would be a sad day.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it's sad that I love these yogis so much.
No, so that'd be a sad day. That'd be mean.
Yeah, especially if Nicole would
want to come
that.
Over for support.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have questions for you two about the setup of this family in this house, because it definitely seems like that Spider-Man lives in a 13-year-old's bedroom. And what is his relationship? I now know that that kid is his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely thought it was a girl.
Nope.
So who is the older woman? I know the other girl is his girlfriend who lives with him.
No, Hitomi just hangs out because she is friends with his sister, who is the other woman, and his brother. They all live together because their father just recently died.
Gotcha. Okay. Now that makes a lot more sense.
And
but yeah, that was my only thing, because it just seemed like he had a really kid room, but he is clearly like a man, like a full man. Like, I feel like he's my age now. He's doing that.
I would think he's maybe 26 to 27.
Yeah, I guess they just look harder in the 70s. Like, he had a lot of wear and tear on him that I could see.
He wasn't using facial creams.
Yeah, I definitely moisturize out here. You got to do it.
He also did have the stress of not only his father dying, but on the same day his father died, he was injected with a known toxin called Spider X.
That's fair. I'm sure that'll put some years on you.
Yeah.
Spider blood.
Spider X. Because spider blood's not going to do really much to your body except maybe give you hives or put you in some sort of shock. But Spider X, that gives you the muscles.
Yeah, I wonder, I actually don't want to say I wonder what spider blood will actually do to you, but I don't want to know of any testing like that. I feel like that's not productive at all to say I want to know that.
Because it's also, how would you harvest that? It's such tiny amounts of blood.
That's not the reason why, but
yeah,
that is just, also,
you know, get a really tiny syringe.
Yeah, but in order to get enough of blood to, like, see, hey, how's this going to affect us? Can we use spider blood as blood transfusions? No. We would look to horses or monkeys or whales even. Things with a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Just think of how much blood is in a whale.
Ew.
Never thought about that ever until now.
I bet John Kramer has. Jim Kramer? Jim Kramer has.
I don't.
Who's that?
From Saw?
Oh, Because he kills a lot of people?
Well, because he has to say, hey, you need to fill up 6 quarts. And people are like, well, that's almost as much as a... But if all of a sudden a whale's there, he's going to be like, well, I undershot this. Only 6 quarts? A whale's got 100 times that.
Also, that's quite an accomplishment to get a whale into a sauce setup. I would have to pat myself on the back for that, regardless of how it goes, if I were to get that.
The setup is just dragging it onto the beach.
Word. If I was one of the pig people that gets things and I got the whale, like, I better be, like, first in line for the Jigsaw promotion once he's gone. Like, I definitely need to be running the games.
I know how to make a Rube Goldberg, okay?
For whales. I feel like every Saw murder I would do would end up me ranting about bringing that one whale in. I did it. You get how tough this is.
And before you start thinking this is unfair, I once beached a whale. That was both unfair for me and the whale. You got it easy with this contraption that will explode your rib cage if you don't saw through your knee and find the key I embedded underneath it. With it, I'm better than John or Jim. I'm giving you 6 minutes, okay?
That would be a great Saw movie. That'll be my next spec script.
Just easy mode Saw.
Yeah.
The lenient Saw. Yeah. Like, if I, as a manager at the place we both used to work at, that would have been me. Everyone's like, hey, you guys got to be doing emails every 2 minutes. And I'm like, you want to know what? Every 4 minutes, that's fine. That's how I would be doing Saw traps.
Man, you'd be the most efficient Jigsaw. I mean, you definitely get the promotion for Jigsaw. You're too hard of a worker. I would put all my money behind you, James.
Thank you. I would never want that job, though.
Fair enough.
Real quick, I had moral trepidation with the job we both worked at. And that was just like a job we both worked at.
That's just capitalism.
Yeah. How would I feel about kidnapping people and technically murdering them?
Well, to be fair, it's a lot more honest than a lot of capitalism that, of course, does not include the job we previously worked at.
Okay.
But other forms of capitalism, I feel like at least when you're kidnapping people and murdering them at, again, places other than where we used to work, you at least get a little more honesty out of them. And you're like, this is what it is. You know the job. Nobody lied to you about the job. You really kind of set your hours, too. So it's pretty flexible time, you know. It could be remote if you want. You know, you can figure it out. And then when the actual day comes, it's really for entrepreneurs out here. People who want to get a new start on things, small business owners.
Yeah, and then I could rob the people after they fail.
I assumed he did that. I mean, it wasn't like he was still. How else did he get the money? It always seemed like he had like somewhat powerful people or people with money in there. I know he, in the story, I think he was like a very prominent like architect or something like that, or engineer. So he had some money, but he definitely robbed people and siphoned. It was a bit of a pyramid scheme with the pig people too. Mm-hmm. You know, come in here, you know, you can become great too like me. And it really was just him taking their money.
That's how it all happens, Nicole. That's how Marshland Media was founded on.
Well,
I'm kidding, guys.
Where is he?
I am. So it's the morning time and Taki is like, hey, why is everyone here so early? And they're saying, we're going to go for a drive today. And Taki is like, no, what if we all get into an accident? Weird line of thinking, but he's probably assuming something bad will happen because I'm being looked at. I shouldn't leave with you guys. But then he should have just said, let's go for a drive, because now he's got to go to an amusement park.
Oh, yeah. And as the resident grump out of the three of us, I have to say that Spider-Man was too grumpy even for me, because I would never be upset about going to an amusement park.
Hell yeah, dude. And what's your favorite amusement park ride?
I would say my favorite amusement park ride has to be the Raging Bull. I know it's the standard, especially for the Midwest, but I absolutely love that one. And when I first faced my fears of going on roller coasters, that was like the second one I went on. And that one just takes my breath away every time. So I definitely love that. My second favorite has to be the Batman one. I don't know if that's still around, but that one was amazing.
And these are just roller coasters.
Yeah, just roller coasters. I think 3D ride had to be the now defunct Terminator 2 Ride to the Future that they had at Universal Studios.
Very good.
That was fire.
It was replaced with the Bourne Identity, and that's still pretty dope.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that, but the way they did the Terminator one was like, I remember I had the Terminator, because I love the Terminator series, I had the Fuck You DVD set and everything, and I would watch all the special features, and they had a whole feature on just that, and I remember seeing that, wondering, like, it'd be cool if we went there one day, and then, like, to actually go see it, like, that was a highlight of, like, being, like, a theme park visitor for me, for sure.
Nicole, what's your favorite kinds of rides?
Dark rides.
Okay, hell yeah. Any favorites?
I mean, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. Ride that one like 50 times.
I love E.T.
Yeah, that one's cool.
E.T. was good. I love the ending when they used to generate the names.
No,
and
they still
with,
do
like,
it.
A keyboard. They do?
Yep.
That was so bad. My Eric, my Anna, my Nick. I just remember that. Like, just laughing at that. You know, there's just somebody just typing feverishly.
Well, no, it's not typing. You type your name into it, and then you scan the little card that they're given, and then it reads whatever you typed onto that, I believe. My guess is they're...
No, I think the people type it in.
It's smoothed out. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, because if we type it in, there would be a bunch of fuck faces, like, by the end of
but
that.
I think they would have technology. Like, there was this thing my niece had when she was a child. It was a caterpillar with all the alphabet on it. And if you tried to spell in any curse word, it would just go,
instead of saying what the word is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I would just hope that, you know, as my morbid self, I would hope there would be like a massive alarm, like, that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable.
Because it would sound out, so you could go, f-f-f. And if you try to go, f-k, it would go,
shout out to them. That's a good alternative. I would be frustrated by not getting that. So it would irritate me at the same time as getting its job done.
So my favorite rides, I love the Viking thing. You know, it's a big pendulum. Because it makes your
fan.
Yeah.
It makes your pee-pee bump feel good. And then...
Not for that reason, I'm a big fan, but I respect that for you.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
I would ride that at Michigan's Adventure all the time because it like, the G-force just gets... It sinks your pee-pee bump down, and it feels very good. I was making
Michigan's Adventure? Sorry, I'd never heard of that place before.
Michigan's Adventure is in Muskegon, Michigan. It's a huge theme park just in the middle of nowhere. You're seeing a bunch of forest, a bunch of forest, a bunch of forest. Holy shit, one of the biggest wooden roller coasters in the United States of America as it spirals across this entire parking lot. It's also a water park. It's one of the best things to do. Actually, probably the only good thing to do in Muskegon. And
two parks for the price of one.
Hey, bring your Dr. Pepper cans to get $5 off in admission tickets here at Cedar Point owned Michigan's Adventure.
Because it's also a water park.
For two parks for the price of one. If you're one of the lifeguards there, you want the big, just straight down slide.
Yeah.
Because
the scary one.
Yeah, because sometimes people's tops flop off.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. That sounds dope, though. I mean, ever since Defunctland converted me, man, like, I always have, like, a passing interest in theme parks because of that. Like, that guy, his name, Kevin Perjurer, guy's a genius. I hope he gets, like, a TV show or something.
Eventually, because Lil Corey King from This Existed, he's from Michigan and has been to Michigan's Adventure. We want to take a bunch of Chicago friends someday to Michigan's Adventure.
Put me in that, please. I definitely want to go check that out. Honestly, I've been wanting to go back to Six Flags. I've never experienced Fright Night before because I was a loser in high school. I wasn't a loser, but I just rather play video games. So I didn't really go with people. And I would love to like actually see what Fright Night was like all about.
That was 10 years ago. Nicole and I went.
How'd you like it?
It was fun.
Yeah, I've been a couple times and it's fun. They do like make you pay more if you want to go on the like in the haunted houses or whatever. I did hear, so my brother went, I think last year, and he said it was kind of disappointing. Like, I don't know if it's because of like COVID or whatever, like I don't know. He said it wasn't as cool.
Pearl just went, aka Torchyberry. and we discuss it on Citizens of Townsville Z, and she was kind of disappointed by it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem is the rise in haunted houses kind of like kill that vibe, because I know they can't go as hard as other haunted houses that are like prominent in the area. So I feel like if they're not actually scaring you, it's probably like annoying partly when you're trying to just go through Six Flags, because they just have like soft scares.
Yeah.
You know, I would not be interested at all by that, but I still want to try it out.
And Nicole, you went to Horror Nights at Universal Studios, and that place is just oversaturated, and they're clearly selling too many tickets. And it's just
so many fucking people.
You were able to, for the entire night, go to two haunted houses?
Yeah, it was like an hour away for one haunted house, but it was fucking cool. I was sad because apparently when my sister gets scared, she runs. And I was like, we waited an hour and I want to see this shit. Like, it, cause it was like, it was when it was based off of the first Halloween movie and it was really fucking cool. And it was like, I want to see the things.
You want to experience Haddonfield.
Like, I was less scared and more just like, oh yeah, that's terrifying. Just like in the movie. Like, just so
what,
nerding
what did they do?
Out.
Did they have like the house and like the neighborhood from Halloween?
It was like a bunch of different, because it's kind of like a, you know, they're usually kind of like a maze. So it was like a bunch of different scenes.
That's awesome.
That kind of played out the plot of the movie. And then the other one we went to was like
The Weeknd.
Yeah. It was like the band The Weeknd. Like
the singer?
Created. Yeah. And like,
when you said it, I was like, it'd be funny if it was The Weeknd. It is.
Yeah, whenever there's like a certain song that whenever I hear it, it just makes me think of that because they just like played it on repeat, like while waiting in line for like an hour.
So what was The Weeknd's scares? I don't get it.
It felt more like just a cyberpunk music video. Like, it didn't feel like a haunted house thing.
Nah, man, if I was an artist and I got a chance to do a haunted house, I'm going hard. I'm like melting my face when we go in and turning the songs you like into demonic, like playing them backwards and going crazy and like burning the place. Like, why are we, well, you just want to do something cool for people? Get out of my face, man.
And then we also went to like a quote unquote like adult fire stunt show that was really fucking cool.
I mean, they show like a couple titties while they do fire stunts.
Actually, no. That's why I did like air quotes, because it's like, it's not really adult, but it's like, you know, that like uptight moms, if they were there during like with their kid, they'd be like,
even the Christian reviews,
this is porn.
On their website.
Yeah.
They were able to say fuck twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than PG-13. That's good.
That's what I'm saying. That's what made it adult.
That's so corny. That's fair. I mean, I'm sure that Weeknd thing was like his attempt at Captain EO that Michael Jackson did back in the day, but that's so corny.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't able to attend.
Yeah.
I had COVID.
I mean, that's not funny, but I was just like, damn, that sucks.
But I was at home watching Chunky.
Yeah.
What's that? Is that a horror film?
It's how we say Chucky.
How you say, do not.
But you love Chunky. Season 2 of Chunky rips, guys. Watch it. It's on Peacock now. Boy, oh boy, does
Jennifer Tilly.
And episode 4, it is one of the best hours of television I've ever seen.
I'll have to check that out. I mean, I watched the first season. Jennifer Tilly's had my heart since, like, Liar Liar, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't really, you know, I'll watch anything she's in.
Episode 4, she's so fucking funny.
Yeah, if you love Jennifer Tilly, you should watch season 2.
Just skip to episode 4 because that is like within its own realm. Oh boy, it's so good.
I do want to know what happened, so I'll watch the whole season, but I will pay special attention to episode 4.
Like, I'm not a fan of Chucky, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fruit. Like, I was surprised they made what they did out of the show currently, but I guess I shouldn't be, because those last couple movies before the show was made, I was amazed at how actually interesting they were. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that like this is going in. The last movie before the show had implications that this show could go on forever anyways. Yeah. So,
because there's so many Chunkies.
Yeah, just that's great because that is like a great play on the original, just like the toy thing. Because for a while they like forgot him being a toy, mm-hmm. and he was so ripped up that like you couldn't even pass off the scary thing of the first movie where the kid was like, "This toy is doing it," and people are like, "You're crazy." It's like if you see that shit. I don't even remember him being a toy in half those movies when he was like ripped up in the face. Seemed like he was just like, yeah, I'm Chucky.
In the third one, Don Mancini wanted to do multiple Chuckies, but because of the turnaround was like 9 months on that movie. He had to write the entire screenplay in a few weeks. Then they started shooting and they said, we don't have the time or the budget to be able to have multiple Chuckies. So it wasn't until The Cult of Chucky, I believe, when he finally got to do all of that.
Yeah, because they got a nice long break after the one with Glenn / Glinda when they showed up. They had a good amount of time because that was kind of where everybody was like, we should pump the brakes. I mean, when Red Man's in your movie,
he's cool.
It's about that. It's cool, but it's like you're hitting a point where this is not really becoming anything.
Have you not seen his Fox television show classic Method in Red?
Yes, I did, and I love How High also, but I don't want him in Chucky. Those are largely the reason he ended up in that series, but I understand it for the third movie why he had to work so hard, because that second movie, I don't think anybody expected that to be such a banger that it was after the first one. They thought it would be just a regular thing, but the second one is my favorite by far, and like the way they get rid of Chucky in that one, I never forgot that. Even as a kid being scared, I was like, this is awesome. Like, that was the right type of scary for me.
Hell yeah. This is my last thing, and then we'll get back to Spider-Man. I want to see Red Man in season 3 of Chunky. It would be very fucking cool. He probably dies in the movie he's in, but we've seen other characters come back and play other characters, so why not?
I'm pretty sure Jennifer Tilly died. Like, she's been in this show so much, but she died in the Chucky she showed up in. He kills her and makes Tiffany. So they can just voodoo Red Man back. I mean, I don't know if he died, though.
But that's because Tiffany is played by Jennifer Tilly, but in the world, she is technically just someone who looks like Jennifer Tilly. Well, there is someone in the world who is actually Jennifer Tilly, the actress. So Tiffany dies, but then Jennifer Tilly is still out there, and then her body gets inhabited by Tiffany.
So technically, you're right about that. So technically, this is Jennifer Tilly playing Jennifer Tilly, possessed by Tiffany.
Yes.
I had to get back on that. All right, cool.
Okay, so this roller coaster in this looks at the same time a baby roller coaster, but also a death trap, and it starts going crazy. That's how we got on this, asking about amusement parks.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is when the brother walks up to Takuya again and says, "You let me down, dude," which is what Henry says when I set him down.
Well, we missed a couple steps because you got to remember the second onslaught of the modified humans and the return of my boy, Batman. Pulling up on the scene out of nowhere.
Just goes,
obviously,
yeah,
the editing on that was so crazy. He just kind of like shows up and starts beating everybody up. Also, this was when I remember the red eyes showing up, and they freaked me out the first time I saw them. It was a little too abrupt, and those were very red, and that was kind of caught me off guard. But again, I don't even know what to say. Batman, I want to be him when I grow up. He was the coolest dude ever and a great superhero. Like, he should really consider a new job field, because I was there. I was here for it.
I saw those red eyes and just assumed someone's got that Chiba, man.
I also want to note the second glasses move he does. Glasses are already down, pushes them up real quick, gives them another smile, pimps away. Great Batman.
Just beats the shit out of him, doesn't say a word, and just leaves.
He's got to give a little more sleeper cell game to Spider-Man's girl first, though. He gave it to the whole family, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made them all. He charmed them all. And I was just like, man. And I was with them. I was like, yeah, you let me down, Spider-Man. You suck. Like, because I understand he has to be, like, not Spider-Man, but you don't have to be, like a wimp. Like, you can defend yourself. You could even lose defending yourself, but try to do something. Like, Spider-Man was, this was not a good episode for Spider-Man for me, because I'm not a fan of him. But I, you know, at least at this point, I will say I had a little bit of a change of heart towards the end. But right now, I'm a member of the family. Like, this guy's great. What's wrong with you?
No, I truly respect his commitment to the bit because, as I've said before, the first time someone says, oh, Spider-Man saving the day and you're just a beta boy, I'd be like, all right, hey, look at this. I slide down my shirt sleeve. I show the wrist thing and I click the button and the suit goes over me. And I said, I'm the one who's been saving you this entire time. Don't tell anyone. And then I'd take it off and they'd be like, oh, mum's the word. I apologize.
You'd be on TMZ that afternoon. That would be completely spilled. Like, I get why he doesn't tell people. I would never trust anybody with my identity. I think a spouse would eventually have to find out, but I would still assume anybody else would tell on me immediately.
Yeah, you don't think that his little brother would just go and tell everyone that his brother is Spider-Man?
I'd punch him in the trach just so he couldn't talk anymore. I'd say, you pushed me to this. And you can't be trusted.
Wow.
Great brother, James.
And be lucky I pulled my punch, okay? Because I could have just...
Yeah, I feel you.
I could have punched right through your
obliterate
throat hole.
Obliterate you.
Like they would have done in Dead Alive. So Takuya is trying to get his family on his side because he knows everyone's watching him and his family. And he talks to his brother and says, hey, just stay here. We'll play walkie-talkies. That's got to be better than clothes shopping, right? And the brother just goes, nuh-uh, and then walks away.
Yes, and we get to a scene that I want to note because the department store scene passes the Bechdel test. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-huh.
Yes, so I was pretty happy to see that one. Lord knows how many of our much more funded media on Spider-Man or any superhero fails that with quadruple the time and like probably quadruple the characters also.
Do they really not talk about Takuya or anything?
No, they just say this dress looks nice.
Okay, hell yeah.
And then a department store woman walks up. She's like, we have dressing rooms. I was like, oh, look at that. They passed. And that was three women and it didn't come up.
And then they get kidnapped.
Yes, for the final test, which, joking for me, I was like, is the final test for Batman just making Spider-Man a full-on cuck? Like I got the whole people. I got your sister and your girl. We gonna have fun tonight.
We had sexual relations, and I filmed it on one of my surveillance bats. But he's supposed to go to Warehouse Number 7, which would be a great name for a techno production team.
Ooh.
Warehouse Number 7.
Yeah, that, I liked that.
And he does the flashback with Garia for a second, and he says, oh, this is the mission for my dad and my E.T., the E.T. who bestowed me with superpowers.
Okay, so that makes more sense because I was like, so his dad is 400 years old?
Uh-uh.
He gave him the powers, but that is the alien.
Uh-huh.
And he's just remembering the moment he got the powers, mm-hmm. but standing in front of his dad's grave.
Yeah.
So that puts it in perspective for me. But to go back to the last plan, when he gets the ransom note from his girl, it's crazy to me that she gave it to him because she doesn't know he's Spider-Man, right?
Uh-uh.
So for me, I was like, did she expect him to go to the cops? Because I don't know what she saw in him from what I've seen of him to make her think that he would be able to handle that situation at all properly.
True.
Okay. It's still his brother and sister.
But yeah.
If my brother and sister were kidnapped and no one told me, I'd be pissed.
For sure. But I'd be like, so you're going to take this to the cops, right? Like, I would be trying to figure out what the plan he was going to do. But, you know, I'm sure they just didn't think about it. They're like, we got to get him to the scene now. We got to go.
And he then performs a street magician's trick, which is, I'm going to jump in the water and act like, hey, I'm dead. Bye-bye. and that will buy me time to get in my Spider-Man outfit underwater, swim to the entrance of the harbor, then call my little Marveler GP7 and drive in. And they're like, oh, see, Spider-Man's over there and Takuya's over there dead in the ocean, so he can't be Spider-Man.
I definitely have something to say about this scene because I was trying to figure out if Spider-Man could teleport, because transforming in the water just didn't work. And the editing made it seem like the car was right outside and he was teleporting.
No, I think there's probably 3 minutes of time.
Okay, yeah, because I saw that it was maybe a little editing, but it definitely seemed like there was a little bit. The editing just made it funnier for me. I just have to say, because the editing definitely makes it seem like he teleported to his car that was heading that way already.
Uh-huh.
The second he jumped in the water.
So yeah.
For me, in my headcanon, which is a phrase I hate, he low-key has teleportation but doesn't tell people.
But speaking of headcanon, his Marveler has a headcanon probably, shoots cannons, bullets out of its head, because the next note I have is just, he takes down the big bat.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have so many
notes because we are at an hour 20 now.
I understand. I will just say that Amazoness is my official tokusatsu boo. I can only imagine the type of weird boners she's been giving men for decades now. She took me back to Divatox and the Turbo era.
Hell yeah.
But the one thing I needed to get out was, again, for the teleportation, I felt like the fight scene when Spider-Man shows up, high point. I was amazed by how much of a high point seeing Spider-Man in action actually was. The fight scenes were deceptively kind of fire. Good to see proto putties, but blatantly it seems like Spider-Man can teleport, because that one scene on the balcony where it's like two levels of the balconies on the top level,
yes,
fighting two putties, he moves away from the ledge and then it's at an angle so where you can't see where he goes, but on the bottom ledge he pops up, which is clearly another actor, where two other putties pop up, and it was like, he is teleporting, otherwise that really doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, he's just fast, guys.
Exactly. I also appreciate that they never say web in this, and I've wondered if maybe that was just a translation thing where they have words that have multiple meanings, because they said spider net and I was like, it makes sense if we just, you know, they have words for multiple meanings. But yeah, the rest of it, when Batman shows up, his least cool part, because he's just a, you know, a generic Spider-Man Power Rangers villain. And it really seems like they just brought it home at the end,
mm-hmm,
where I almost wish it was longer so I could get more of this kind of, I don't want to call it cheese because that seems bad, but I don't think it's bad that it was cheese, but I wanted more of the cheese, like the quality cheese.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. My two last notes are, he gets pulled out of the muck in the harbor floor and he's,
yes,
covered in this grime, and the narrator is saying, hey, everyone else thinks he's a clueless idiot, but if only they knew he was Spider-Man. As the EMTs around him to wake him up, just splash him with a bucket of water to get the dirt out of his face. And then he's like, huh, what's going on?
Yeah, they low-key roast him because they do that. And then they also call him lonely multiple times. Like, and I get they mean like heroic lonely,
mm-hmm,
but it really comes off as like, look at this lonely loser man taking on the world. But love it. I especially love the all your base are belong to us at the end with the Spider-Man becomes meets boy with a weak heart for the preview for the next episode. That was my favorite line of the show, other than, here comes the man hell-bent on revenge, Spider-Man,
hell
which is,
yeah,
the way I always want to know my Spider-Man.
Okay. Nicole, do you have any last notes?
No.
Nick, we end on this. Spider-Man is generally, in most origin stories, bitten by a radioactive spider to get powers that of a spider. So if you were to be bitten by a radioactive any kind of animal, what would it be? What powers would you have, and how would you use those to take down the Iron Cross Army?
Probably an American Eagle, because I'd be protected, and I would be able to use my patriotism and the lack of thought of overtly patriot people to create an army of zealots to take down the Iron Army and then take over the world myself under the guise of the American government.
Hold on. You wouldn't form an army. You'd form a militia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like enough militias just make kind of an underground army, you know what I mean?
No, the guys who want to join this patriot army want to be called a militia.
They're going to be called whatever the bald eagle tells them they're called. That's why I'm a bald eagle.
Oh, okay.
You know, how can you say no to me? I'm a bald eagle, bro. Just let me look to the side. I'm America.
I like a mulleted eagle.
I thought about a mulleted eagle now. Like, that's great.
Would you fly? Would you pick people up and drop them like an eagle?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I'd just scratch their eyes out and make it very uncomfortable for them. But pretty much the flying is the main reason. I knew when you said any animal, I wanted to fly more than anything. And, you know, protected, that means if they try to hurt me, then they get arrested on top of that. Mm-hmm. So then they'd have to fall under the weight of the legal system and the prison industrial complex. You know, I just use all the tools that America uses to crush its citizens every day to destroy the Iron Army, because that's the one thing that the Iron Army can't defeat, and that is America.
But the Iron Cross Army is all about, you know, the free trade capitalism.
Yeah, but I just would rather handle all that stuff myself. Like, okay. You know, like, I'm really just trying to destroy them so I can take their place and do it better.
Oh.
You know, that's American.
Hell yeah. Well, we got to salute and sign off on that. Nicholas, thank you so much for being here.
Again, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I really liked talking about amusement parks. I almost want to do an amusement park thing. I could do that forever. But thank you. The Spider-Man was awesome. I'd never seen it before, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Heck yeah. You got anything to plug?
Yeah, I got an EP coming soon, a homemade EP, which James is very much helping me with. And I have some scripts I'm working on. You can read scripts from me on Coverfly. I have a pilot called The Other Side. I have a horror screenplay about a theme park called McCary Mountains that you can check out. It's currently being submitted to a few contests. I have tons of music. You can find me everywhere with the name Nick, N-I-C-A, and an actual period, or just looking up three words. Or just the word Nick, N-I-C-K, and the actual word period. And you can find me everywhere online.
Heck yeah. Nicole, what you got to plug?
Well, you know me. I'm Darling Homebody on social medias. You can visit darlinghomebody.com to view all the things that I make. I have lots of stickers and stuff. You can also join my monthly sticker subscription where you get a sticker every month. It's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. And be on the lookout for the Darling Homebody Shopping Network coming probably in November.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of a big deal. Everything's 20% off, and then we do, like, crazy shit. There's also, like, bonuses of, like, giveaways and all kinds of stuff.
We're getting to $1,000 in one night this year. Last year, we were, like, $40 or, like, $60 short. So this year, we will do it. But, hey guys, listen to my music under Marshland Monster. That's three words. Anal Dentata, out October 13th. But head over to patreon.com/MLMpodware for $5 a month. You get exclusive content every single Friday. But this Friday, aka tomorrow upon release of this, you can listen to Anal Dentata world premiere on, you don't even need to be subscribed. It's there for free to listen to. This existed. Us discussing Teeth, the 2007 cult classic. And if you're a $10 patron, you get all of that plus monthly bonus content where you could listen to Nick Period and I discuss Dead Alive, Peter Jackson's famous movie. It rocks, guys. And you get shout outs on every single free feed podcast. So let's begin with O, starting with Steve F, Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z, the Waz Orion, Jordan B, the Chaos Witch, my Bickle brother in common law, Joshua Jacus. He texted me happy birthday a couple days ago. Steve Barnes of Sweet Child of Time and Intro Void, who has remixed Anal Dentata. The Woman Which I Emerged, my mother, Lil Corey's BFF, Shane, That Fed, twitch.tv/CoreWinning, it's Corwin, and from Formulaic and The Rom Complex, it's twitch.tv/R2Shelby2, it's R2Shelby2. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Spider-Man. Bye-bye.
Long live Toby.
This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.
Oh, yeah.